This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Now, NBC News special correspondent Tom Brokaw. Tom, good to have you on.
Good to be here.
Thanks so much for being here. You know, Tom, so many of us grew up hearing stories about generals overreacting. Every Soviet provocation, JFK never trusted his bellicose Joint Chiefs of Staff. And so when I think our natural reaction when we hear a president is surrounding himself with generals is to immediately go back to the Bay of Pigs, to the Cuban Missile Crisis, to what we've learned our entire life in school. What about these generals? Do you share the concern?
It's an entirely different military culture, especially in the Army. And the contradiction, of course, is that Donald Trump said in the course of a campaign, I know more about ISIL than any American general. Now he has surrounded himself with best of breed. After Vietnam, the Army especially did an amazingly effective job of creating a new culture for its general officers. They went to graduate school. They lived in the civilian society. They became experts in the culture and where they were fighting wars or were expected to fight wars. The three that he's put in place, you would have in any corporation, any academic setting of any kind, because they know what they're up against. Mm-hmm. McMaster has written a wonderful book about what went wrong in Vietnam. I spent time with these generals when I was in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and you'd always have an enlightened conversation about the difficulties that they would be facing. One of them said to me in the opening rounds of Iraq, tell me how this ends. So there were a lot of reservations on the part of them as we went to war. But at the same time, I do think the country is well served by these men who have spent their lives assessing risk around the world, understanding the cultures that we're dealing with, and not being afraid to raise their hand and say, wait a minute.
Says a lot here, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Brokaw seeing the benefit of these generals, and I think he echoes the general consensus of most people out there. So clearly what Donald Trump has done is he has created some bridges into the other side, if we might say, you know, some bipartisanship support here, which I think is all very positive. And this is some of the stuff that's not being reported. I mean, they're really not sure how to put it in that context because they really don't want to give Donald Trump credit. I mean, it's tough for some of these liberals to consider this. And I know we're hearing this angst all the time. And maybe we're starting to get on the other side of this this big surprise that happened in November and the disappointment that the left and liberals faced and that put them in shock. I mean, this was kind of a political shank, if you know what I mean, for those that golf, you know, those of us that golf, when you shank a ball, it is such a shock to the system, to your brain and everything about what you just did. You just can't, it takes a minute to kind of get yourself steady again. And sometimes before you know it, you're shanking like crazy because you're overthinking it. But for the liberals, kind of like that, for golfers, they've kind of shanked themselves a bit. And they're still trying to shake themselves out of this delusion and out of wondering what the heck happened. And, of course, we have the other part. Sadly, we've got people within the government that under no circumstance do they want Donald Trump to succeed. But in spite of this, in spite of the challenge that he's faced with, because I think the other thing that Rush Limbaugh said the other day, which was very powerful, and I'm not sure that people really caught this, but he said that the media did not make Donald Trump. So they didn't make him, and they're not about to do him in, because he's not of their making. Anybody else that's been of their making, they can take him on a ride And you've seen this happen one administration after another. Donald Trump is his own man. We're grateful for that. And I think that's what most of America is cheering on right now, is they're saying, look, he is not beholden. This is what we like. And we're appreciative of his independence, and we celebrate his independence. Yeah, along with it, you get egg rolls, you know.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. And we encourage you, yes, freedom of the speech, freedom of the press, it all reigns here. So we need to hear your voice. If you're not going to exercise your freedom, well, then, you know, your freedoms are limited, right? It's just like that. So your opinion does count. Michael Rubin is with us right now, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, Middle East regional politics, Iran, Syria, and Persian Gulf expert. Michael, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
A lot to talk about here. I want to start off in focusing on Lieutenant General McMaster's, the new security advisor. Give us a read on this.
I think it's a very positive move. You know, Donald Trump may be very controversial in some quarters, and he certainly is a polarizing figure, but I don't think people can say that he hasn't appointed one of the most professional national security cabinets there are now that Michael Flynn is gone. I mean, you have General Mattis, who's extremely respected over at the Pentagon. You have General Kelly, who's likewise respected over at Homeland Security. And, I mean, H.R. McMaster just caps the trifecta.
Exactly. And then, of course, he's backed by Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg as the NSC's chief of staff. I mean, we're not talking small potatoes here, are we?
No, we certainly aren't. And Keith Kellogg certainly has distinguished himself in the initial chaos that surrounded the Flynn investigation and then his eventual resignation. You know, you do have a situation in which some on the left are saying this sends a negative sign that you have so many military members in the administration. But when it comes to running large bureaucracies, these are guys that not only have experience doing that, but also have experience with reform and with thinking outside the box.
Well, and what has to be done clearly, if Donald Trump is going to drain the swamp, he better have some strong leadership there. And look at how Mattis, boy, exemplified himself with NATO. He goes and talks to him. Everybody's nervous, going, oh, my goodness, he's going to take Donald Trump's message to NATO. We're going to start this international incident. He says, guys, you know, how about if you pay up your fair share? They go, okay.
Well, certainly Donald Trump is exemplifying the idea of being unpredictable. He's staking out what it seems to be more extreme positions, and then people applaud when he compromises. Mm-hmm. Whether that's intentional or not, it seems to be working.
Exactly. Well, in this case, it wasn't a compromise. It's just, you know, hey, nobody ever asked us before. You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with understanding that relationships are a two-way street. I am one of the disappointing things with regard to the previous administration or administrations, but specifically with the Obama administration, is there didn't seem to be a lot of gratitude or respect for traditional alliances. We saw this, for example, with Saudi Arabia, with Israel, with Egypt, and many other countries, which felt that they got the short end of the stick from Obama and Secretary of State Kerry. Now we see a situation in which the United States is saying it will respect some traditional alliances, but at the same time, it's going to hold those states to the understanding that a partnership means a partnership.
Well, and of course, right now, the NATO partners that we have, they're a little bit closer to the threat than we are, aren't they?
Well, they absolutely are. I mean, the big looming threat, of course, for NATO being Russia, and this is another situation where some of the polemical speech that occurred during the campaign simply isn't bearing fruit. Look, I'm critical of President Trump's outreach towards Russia. I don't think that it will work, and therefore I think it's a waste of time and may put us in a more negative position. But that said, you know, Donald Trump's position towards Russia really isn't functionally different from that of President Obama before him. Mm-hmm. I hope that it will become a little bit more robust with time. But so far, all the detractors of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, for example, are finding out that their criticisms were invalid.
Yeah, who's forming that policy? Is it Trump or is it the media that's trying to form that policy of supposedly that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin are BFFs? All he's saying, you know, from one leader to another is that, look, if I'm going to have a conversation, I got to build a bridge. If I say the guy's an idiot, you know, how is that going to, you know, go in terms of being able to, you know, communicate? We saw this happen in Mexico with President Nieto. I mean, I think the president, you know, our president, Donald Trump, was gracious toward the president of Mexico. He didn't throw him under the bus, but yet the president of Mexico wanted to throw Donald Trump under the bus afterwards in order to save some skin or whatever. And, of course, we found out that there were some leaks in that situation as well. But, you know, some of these things have to be navigated in a way. If you're going to be able to be in communication, you got to find something in which to base the communication on. I mean, you know, to your point, it was Barack Obama who said, you know, while he was on the campaign, I'll meet with anybody without precondition, right?
Well, that's absolutely the case. Now, again, make no mistake, Bill, I hope that Donald Trump will take a much more firm line towards Russia. At this point in the administration, all the countries in the world are trying to test Donald Trump, mm-hmm. are trying to feel him out, trying to see where he falls, and we have to have no illusion. That's certainly the case with Russia right now.
Yeah. Do you think Donald Trump is going to roll over like Obama, knowing what you know about Donald Trump right now? And of course, there's many chapters yet to be written in terms of his presidency. But up to this point, knowing what I know about him and have seen, you know, even from his past behavior, he doesn't like to lose. He's going to find a way to win. He is not going to roll over with Vladimir Putin. I think, you know, Vladimir Putin is going to have his Ronald Reagan moment with Trump, because I think he's strong enough. And all this stuff, I think, you know, some of this stuff that's being presented by the media, I think Trump's just letting it play out a little bit. I mean, that's my read on this anyway, Michael.
Well, you know, Bill, that's an interesting read. Look, my concern with Donald Trump is consistency of political philosophy and so forth. But that said, I think you're absolutely right. He doesn't want to get played by Vladimir Putin, and Vladimir Putin in Russia or Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey and some other world leaders may find that when Donald Trump says he's going to stand up for America, that means he's not going to defer to Russia's interest or Turkey's interest. That may cause some angst, some frustration. It may cause a public food fight, if it were, between some of these world leaders. But ultimately, I think the pieces are going to fall down on our side of the fence.
Is some of the problem with Trump regarding the Russian issue is because he hasn't moved quick enough to, you know, have an investigation, at least get the ball rolling on an investigation on Russia's interference? I think that he could broaden it out and just say, hey, we're not only going to look at Russia's potential implications, what are some indications here in terms of what they did on the election, but let's open it up and let's look at voter fraud on a broader scale.
Well, you know, I think Donald Trump should do that, and I'm one that believes that we should have investigations. It's Congress's job for oversight, Senator Rand Paul said, for example, that Republicans shouldn't waste time investigating any other Republicans. And I think he's wrong. I think basically, look, if Congress wants for partisan reasons to launch an investigation, it turns out that there's no there there, let Congress have egg on its face for that, for wasting taxpayer money. That said, I think what we have polemics on both sides, and it is causing problems. Take, for example, the idea that Russia hacked the elections.
Michael, let me pause you right there. I want to pick it up when we come back, because I do want to focus a little bit more on Russia. We got to go to break right now. Michael Rubin.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Now there's a proven powerful anti-inflammatory that absorbs 40 times better. Yes, Nano Curcumin Plus from One Planet Nutrition contains smaller particle size that allows absorption over 40 times better into your bloodstream. Nano Curcumin Plus may also help reduce pain and inflammation, detoxify, and help against heart disease and diabetes. Nano Curcumin Plus is now on sale at OnePlanetNutrition.com. Use promo code GCN for your special discount at OnePlanetNutrition.com. The next generation of nutritional supplementation.
Spirit of Don't Tread on Me Alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Michael Rubin is with us, a resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute and former Pentagon official. Michael, before the break, we were starting to get into a little bit more detail about Russia's involvement with this election, this past election in November. Did they or didn't we? We do not have the facts, so as a result, opinion is running absolutely rampant on this deal, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. There's a lot of polemics out there, and people are basically talking into an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. You know, when people say Russia hacked the election, we have more than 30 different voting systems in the 50 states, spread across the 50 states, and there's no indication that Russia hacked any of them. At the same time, when people say 17 intelligence agencies pointed this out, you know, Bill, I'm not sure the Coast Guard intelligence had a lot to say on this, so that's an exaggeration as well.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean Russia didn't want to rhetorically and through the encouragement of these sorts of leaks try to delegitimize the notion, take the shine off of American democracy, and on that they succeeded. But ironically, the agent for that success were some of the Democratic polemics that went alongside this election. Frankly, the Russians didn't expect Donald Trump to win. They expected Hillary Clinton to win, and that was evident in all the Russian language reporting up to Election Day, and then you went silent for a few hours and until the Russians decided how they were going to take this. I mean, Certainly the elections weren't hacked. That said, you know, if you don't change your password and you fall for traditional phishing schemes, sometimes we have to be accountable for our own actions.
Yeah, without a doubt. Michael, two things here. Number one, it's been said that if the Russians were involved, in hacking the election, they didn't do a good job. I mean, they only got half the job done because they got Hillary the popular vote. So she won the popular vote, didn't do the Electoral College very well. And, of course, the other thing is, you know, and you and I talked about this before, is that they pretty much had their way with Hillary. I mean, you talk about somebody that was really taking advantage of someone here in this country, and it was one Vladimir Putin over Hillary Clinton, hands down.
Well, that's absolutely the case. Ellen Tauscher, who was an undersecretary for nonproliferation under Hillary and later became a major surrogate for her campaign, when she was at the Atlanta Council, she accepted money from a Kremlin think tank in order to launch a mutually assured stability campaign, which in my view was mutually assured stupidity, given what was going on. But, you know, if I can be critical of Donald Trump for a moment, I think one of the major problems we have now, and this is reflected in some of the press behavior around him, is Donald Trump was excessive with his rhetoric during the campaign, but Donald Trump seems to believe that now that he is president, he deserves a blank slate, and he seems to be frustrated that no one outside his inner circle are willing to give him that blank slate. We certainly see this, for example, with some with his frustration that was evident in the Bibi Netanyahu press conference over allegations of anti-Semitism. We see this with regard to immigration. We see this with regard to any number of other issues. Fundamentally, when I look at this as an analyst rather than an advocate, I do believe that's where the problem lies.
Well, Michael, I agree with you. I think part of the problem with Trump is that, he's still holding on to the, campaign rhetoric. He's president of the United States. He can't be so fast and loose with the facts and accuse the media for fake news when he's messing up and blowing numbers out and saying things. And then they ask him about it. He goes, oh, that's what somebody told me. What do you mean? That you're the president of the United States. It can't be that's what somebody told you. If you're going to use some facts and figures, make sure you know what you're talking about, because your credibility is destroyed and you're claiming, foul on the media, and you're as complicit as they are.
Well, I think you're absolutely right there, Bill. But ultimately, I also think this is a side effect of something else which President Trump is doing, which is trying to really contain the civil service, the professional bureaucracy in Washington. We've had any numbers of presidents, both Democrats or Republicans, whose efforts have been stymied by civil service and foreign service bureaucrats who thought that they knew best. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, by not making a lot of appointments, you know, I think this has less to do with disorganization, like some people are saying, and more to do with the fact that he wants the State Department to be understaffed. He wants other departments to be understaffed, so that he can ram through what he needs to ram through without all the problems inherent with a rebellion.
Well, part of his leadership style is such, and he made it clear, and I don't know if everybody picked up on this, but if you remember what he said, look at, you know, when they were talking about his cabinet not being filled out, he says, well, they're not here, I'll just do it myself. And that's his management style. He's a lead follower, get the heck out of the way kind of guy. And so he's not going to let these guys, you know, get in his way. But the problem is they're there, and they can ruin his day more than once, can't they?
Well, absolutely. And, Bill, one of the figures that always stuck in my mind from the Bush administration, just to illustrate how big the federal government has grown, is the Department of Housing and Urban Development's budget. If you normalize it for dollars across time, is larger than the entire federal budget during the Johnson administration. That simply shows you how far entitlements and bureaucracy have gotten out of control. And, I mean, look, I have advantage of this because I live in Washington, which is a job growth city, but it's all right. Government sector rather than private sector. That's not the way for a healthy economy.
Yeah, without a doubt. Michael, getting back to Russia, they've been cruising the coast. They've got, you know, which amounts to a ship that's collecting information. And they're just cruising off the coast, kind of putting their finger in the eye of, you might say, Donald Trump, but even, you know, the rest of the citizens, we the people here.
Well, you know, they are cruising off the coast, but they've been cruising off the coast for quite some time under Barack Obama, under George W. Bush. We've had Russian bombers, for example, probe us in Alaska, probe us in Guam, and so forth. The fact of the matter is, this is why we need to understand that we need to have a robust Navy, a robust military, and what I think is one of the worst things that President Obama did, unfortunately, there wasn't a great deal of attention on this, was by scaling back our base in the Azores, this archipelago in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. He opened the gates, Obama opened the gates for the Chinese to come in for basing rights in the Atlantic. We already deal with the Chinese in the Pacific. The last thing we need is for them to have a logistical hub a couple thousand miles off our shore.
Well, Donald Trump's got his hands full because he looks at the military, he looks at the budget, sees what's happened. I think over half of the Marine Corps airplanes are down. They're not even up and flying. They're not even ready. So we've got some money we've got to spend in the military. So here we are, once again, following a Democratic presidential administration, and our military is blighted. And, Michael, you and I talked about this the last time. God forbid we have to go to war. What are we going to go with?
Well, you're absolutely right, Bill. And one of the factoids that a lot of people don't realize is when President Obama left office and Donald Trump was inaugurated, it was the first time in more than a quarter century, if not longer, that we didn't have any aircraft carriers in the Middle East. Now, if the balloon had gone up during that time, we wouldn't have been able to respond for a couple weeks. That gap has now been filled, but that just shows you what a poor situation we're in. Deferred maintenance always comes back to bite us.
Well, we've got Iran firing off missiles. You've got North Korea doing what North Korea does. This is enough to make you a little bit nervous here, Michael.
Well, absolutely. The world is an incredibly dangerous place right now. And certainly, let's hope that we have a strategy in place. This is one of the reasons why it's so good now that we have a functioning National Security Council. Hopefully, we can whip that into shape. But, you know, we don't have a lot of money to spend. We should spend it wisely instead of sponsoring pottery workshops in Latin America, as the State Department has done before. We should be focusing all our spending on defeating the threats to the United States.
And I'm like you, Michael. I hear sense of urgency all over this time right now. Democrats, Republicans, you know, doing their thing, clogging things up. Meanwhile, we're wasting time here. I don't think we have a big window of opportunity. We got to move really quick here. What do you say? This is the last question because we got about 30 seconds left.
Oh, I absolutely think that's the case. And, you know, we've got to plant the seeds now because it's going to take a decade or more to rebuild our strength when it comes to the latest ships with regard to personnel, with regard to staffing. We got to treat our military right.
Amen. Michael is the author of Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes, a resident scholar with AEI, the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official. Michael, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Our Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME11 to 42424.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's We the People, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know it was, and you had your doubts about it, and I understand, you know, the recent dialogue, and especially for those of you that have been in academia and have worked hard and are working hard to get that A, you might be led to believe something else. But let me tell you, the history of our country is replete with examples, just incredible stories. In fact, in a little bit, we're going to be talking with Brett Baer about his understanding and better understanding of one of our former presidents. And I think it's probably one that may be greatly undervalued and underappreciated for what Dwight Eisenhower did and the mission that he had to complete. And he had 3 days, his final mission, 3 days. A great story. Sarah Westwood is with us right now, White House News correspondent for the Washington Examiner, previously covered local governments for the Marietta, Georgia, Georgia Daily Journal, and she's got her hands busy these days, even more so. She's got a wee one at the home that she's loving on and taking care of, and I see pictures of. Thank you for sharing, by the way. It's so sweet to see him growing up. He's growing up so fast.
Yeah, he definitely is. He's almost one. I can't believe how fast this year has gone.
Well, it really is. I think that Donald Trump and his administration probably saying the same thing with all that's going on. And of course, you know, we hear about the deep state, and if it's not the Russians, then it's another cadre of boogeymen out there taking their shots at this administration. Last week, we started hearing that maybe Rence Priebus is having issues. What do you say?
Well, there's always been a contingent of Trump's populist supporters that were skeptical of putting the Trump agenda in the hands of an establishment figure. But those calls seem to be spreading to other members of Trump's inner circle. And certainly those calls are growing louder. Those doubts about Priebus's performance are sort of growing louder because the confirmation process has trudged along so slowly, because now we're more than a month in and there hasn't really been any progress on any of the legislative items that the Trump administration promised. And so there's been frustration, and naturally some of that is aimed at Priebus because he is next to Trump, the highest ranking person in the White House. So he's naturally going to shoulder some of that blame.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sarah, you're exactly right. I mean, we've been concerned on this show, and we've said repeatedly that, you know, there has to be this sense of urgency. But, you know, Donald Trump, his hands are tied. And in spite of that, I mean, still moving along. When you look at what he's been able to accomplish in this short period of time, it is quite astounding. And he's doing this, you know, carrying an anchor and added weight of the Democratic Party that does not want him to move along.
I mean, that the Democrats have pulled out all stops trying to delay the confirmation of his cabinet. Obviously, that greatly complicated what he's been able to achieve administratively. He's not been able to move as quickly as I'm sure he would have liked on certain issues until he has his entire team installed, because they're still fighting to get the very highest level people in place.
Exactly.
They're not even beginning to get some of these lower-level deputy positions that are arguably just as important. But then on the other side of the coin, you look legislatively at how much progress they've made, and it's not very much. There's been we're still having broader discussions about how to pay for items in the budget. We're not getting into the specifics of tax reform. The Obamacare repeal and replace seems to have stalled significantly, when at one point before inauguration, it seems like Republicans were preparing to move very quickly on that. So there's frustration within Republican circles about why things have stopped progressing. And there's obviously people are going to look around for someone to blame for that. But the truth is probably that there's enough blame to go around.
Yeah, without
for
a doubt.
Both sides.
Well, don't you think Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell need to call the question here? I mean, it's not like they haven't had 6 years to think about this. I mean, and how many bills did they offer up to the president to sign regarding Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act? I mean, what, maybe 20, 22, something like that? So it's not like they don't have an idea, but they just need to call the question on all these senators and rogue congressmen and say, okay, here's the party line. This is what we're going to do. We can keep discussing this, but that may be for another day. But on the core issues of what we're going to, first of all, to repeal, the people have said, hey, we're okay with repealing, but we want to know what you're going to replace it with. And there needs to be that party line voice on this issue, because more than ever, there's going to be scrutiny to no end. And the Republicans and conservatives are going to whine about it and say, well, they didn't do this with well, of course, they didn't do it with Obama, but they're going to do it with you. I mean, that's the order of the day. So quit whining, put on your crash helmet and your seatbelt and get ready, you know, right?
Well, exactly. And Republicans are moving a little more slowly and with more caution now that they know they will own the future of Obamacare. Before, it was Democrats' problem, the implosion of Obamacare. That was all on Democrats, because Republicans didn't cooperate with the implementation of Obamacare at any step along the way. And so their hands were clean, and they were free to put forward bills they knew would fail. And because they knew the fate of those bills, they didn't necessarily put as much consideration behind what they were actually putting forward. It was more about the symbolism of resisting Obamacare. Now they know that whatever happens to Obamacare from this point on, once they start passing legislation that deals with Obamacare, the blame will be on them. And they know the media, they can't count on the media to do them any favors in reminding people that Democrats created the mess in the first place. They have to be really careful about how they proceed from here. It's just troubling for a lot of people, because apparently before they came to that realization, Republicans seemed to be promising to move very quickly on this. And now they are obviously not going to do that. And so people are sort of left in this state of uncertainty and limbo, and it's starting to create some frustration.
Well, the big problem for the Republicans is they've come to their Waterloo, and their Waterloo, like anything, has to do with the budget. It's the reality of, oh, wow, yeah, this is great, all these ideas. Who's going to pay? How are we going to pay for this? I mean, that is the big problem, isn't it?
That's right. That's one of them, is that it, not just Obamacare, but beyond that, in the federal budget, there have been a lot of big promises made, particularly when it comes to infrastructure. There is going to be a bunch of money that's spent on infrastructure. Now Republicans are starting to promise no one will lose access to health care. So these are all things that need to be paid for somehow by a party that promised not to increase deficit, increase debt. Mm. So there is seems to be a pretty large ongoing debate about how they're going to fund all of these big ticket line items in the budget. And one thing that has been floated continuously is this idea of a border adjustment tax, basically a tax on imports. But there's some doubt as to whether that tax is going to make it through Congress. The White House has been lukewarm at best about border adjustment. They're not sure if they support it. Paul Ryan certainly does. But if he can't get the party unified behind it, and particularly the president unified behind it, then even that's going to be dead on arrival. Then they have a real problem, because exactly. They can't afford the tax cuts that they promised.
Well, yeah, exactly. I was going to say, we haven't even talked about tax reform. We're trying. We got tax reform, Affordable Care Act, and you're still wondering, okay, and it's going to take a while still for, you know, jobs to catch up and for taxes to increase and for the repatriation of anywhere from $1 to $3 trillion now at a reduced rate. So all this goes into the calculus, and you're not even talking along the way some of these social issues, you know, welfare reform and that sort of thing, because you look at that big budget and you go, wouldn't it be nice to, you know, cut it back a little bit and have it be a little bit more responsible? We could use that money to offset some of these other expenses. So the mathematicians there are wearing out their number two Ticonderoga pencil these days, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been talk about, like you mentioned, cuts to certain spending programs, but there's a lot of doubt among people who are observing this that there will be enough, that the Republicans will be able to find enough cuts to pay for all of the increased expenditures that they promised, because President Trump has made so many promises about things he won't touch. He's not going to touch Social Security, he says. He's not going to touch certain entitlement programs. And he's going to increase military spending. So that's,
well, we got to leave it right there, Sarah. We're out of time. Sarah Westwood on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Sarah.
Less taxes. Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste in the hippies. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
That's always good to have good taste, right? Why not? 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Welcome back. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, you'll see that fun video there with John Morgan, our good new friend, who does that ode to Donald Trump. It is there also, that terrific speech. You might say a mini sermon if you want, 25 minutes or so, from the chaplain of the Senate that is causing a lot of conversation in my circles. And great insight about having your voice heard in heaven. And he brought to light how every week so many of our congressmen, senators, agency heads and that meet consistently on a weekly basis for Bible study. You probably didn't know that. he even said, where's, you know, C-SPAN when you need it to see these men from, you know, coming across, party lines and holding hands and looking to heaven to hope that their voice, will be heard in heaven and, that the weight of, you know, this country is on their cooperative shoulders, and I think the term is cooperative. Brett Baer is going to be with us in just a short moment. New York Times best-selling author, and but we know him more as the chief political anchor for Fox News Channel and the anchor and executive editor of Special Report with Brett Baer, seen 5 days a week on Fox News Channel. Before assuming the anchor role, Brett served as the chief White House correspondent for Fox News Channel between 2006 and 2009, and prior to being named chief White House correspondent for Fox News Channel, he served as national security correspondent based at the Pentagon, reporting on military and national security affairs, as well as on defense, military policy, and the intelligence community from 2001-2006. So you can appreciate just in his background right there what it means, you know, to have us connected to him because of his background and his extensive experience. And he is presenting something that I think has been long time waiting here. And I say long time waiting because, you know, President Dwight Eisenhower has been so understated. And maybe because in a lot of ways, I mean, you're talking about a general with all his accolades and accomplishments during World War II in the Korean conflict and as president of the United States, I think left a legacy that really needs to be reminded and we need to reconnect with. And Brett has done this with his book, 3 Days in January, Dwight Eisenhower's Final Mission. Do we have Brett with us now? Oh, yes. Okay. Brett, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Okay, hey, I'm bragging about you, and I'm filling time. You know, and you're probably going, oh, good, just keep bragging.
Yeah,
this
just
is good.
Keep going. I'm happy with that.
Hey, welcome back to the East Coast. I know it's been quite a whirlwind for you, being on the West and an opportunity. You know, every time I looked up on TV, you were at another presidential library, and only fitting on the heels of your book, 3 Days in January, to see up close and personal again and be reminded of the grand history of our country.
Yeah. Thanks for thanks for having me. I think there is a lot to learn from our past. The dedication of this book is to our sons, Paul and Daniel, and their generation. And I say, please allow history to inform your decisions in the future.
Amen.
And I think there's a lot to learn from Eisenhower's presidency, and this book deals with the handover from Eisenhower to Kennedy, the transition, and the farewell address Eisenhower writes, which he spent almost 2 years on, 21 different drafts on that farewell address that was delivered January 17th, 1961, 3 days before JFK's inaugural speech. And I use that moment and that speech to then look back at President Eisenhower's time in office. And I came to this because I realized as I cover politics in Washington, I didn't know that much about President Eisenhower and his time. I know and knew about General Eisenhower and his exploits in World War II. And I think for our generation and younger, that history sometimes started with President Kennedy. And it enabled me to breathe life into this time to perhaps learn a little bit about his time in office.
Well, I got to thank you and Catherine for including in the final chapter, the president's speech. That needs to be reproduced and given to every legislator. I would say anybody in government, we're going to put it on their wall, Brett.
Yeah.
They need to be reminded of it because, well, I'll tell you, is that a clarion call or what?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you take out the expansion of the Soviet Union and the communist threat, and you insert the threat from radical Islamic terrorism. And that speech could be written and read today, and it'd be just as relevant. There's a big call for bipartisanship and how the country should really focus on the things we agree on first and then argue about what we don't agree on. There's a big part about deficit and debt, and that we can't mortgage our children and grandchildren's future by what we spend today. And then the famous line about the military-industrial complex, which Eisenhower wanted to call the military-industrial-congressional complex. And basically, that special interest funneling money into the body politic and affecting policy outside of the American voter's choice. And he was a whistleblower when it came to that. That's still relevant today.
Well, and he warned John Kennedy about Vietnam.
He did. He warned him about Vietnam. He warned him about the Bay of Pigs. You know, it was an operation that started in its infancy in the Eisenhower administration. And this is about the takeover of Cuba and the covert operatives they were training. He said three things need to happen. One, you have to have a Cuban exile government ready to go. Two, you have to have a leader to lead that government that can replace Castro. And three, you have to have U.S. air power support these operatives in this operation. One didn't happen, two didn't happen, and at the last minute, President Kennedy called off the air power for fear that the world would know the U.S. was behind it.
Right.
And it turned out to be a disaster, even in Kennedy's people's minds.
And, of course, it didn't help him with the CIA because it made the CIA look bad. And, of course, we've heard all kinds of stories about the results of the Bay of Pigs and what that did for relationships between the Oval Office and the CIA.
Yeah, and one of the things that's out of that is the first person he calls after that disaster is former President Eisenhower. And that's that iconic image on the front of the book.
Exactly.
Where they're at Camp David and they're walking up the path. And Kennedy turns to Eisenhower and says, you know, you really don't know how tough this job is until you're in it. And Eisenhower turns to Kennedy and says, with all due respect, Mr. President, I think I told you this 3 months ago.
Exactly. And he spent, as you say, 2 years leading up to that, not knowing who would be president. In fact, when everybody went to bed that night, they were thinking Nixon was going to be the president. It wasn't until the next morning you woke up and you saw the headlines that, in fact, it was this young upstart political force in John Kennedy, and he takes over. And now here's the final mission of Dwight Eisenhower to, make this transition as peaceful as possible. Now, you write this book, Brett, And in light of writing this book and having it all completed, you see what is currently taking place and what took place in the transition from Barack Obama to President Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, the book starts with the meeting between President-elect Kennedy and President Eisenhower in the Oval Office, and it ends with the meeting with President-elect Trump and President Obama in the Oval Office. And arguably, that transition followed the mold of Eisenhower, who really set up the process of transitions. And President Obama and his administration should be credited with the logistics of that transfer and a lot of right seat, left seat, conversations between the president and president-elect that we were never told about, many more that happened behind the scenes. Publicly, it didn't look as smooth, perhaps, because of all the tumult over the reaction to the election. Mm-hmm. But privately, behind the scenes, the logistics were smooth.
What do you make of, you know, obviously, in this transition, there's no way. I mean, the thousands of jobs you have to hire for in a short period of time, of course, there's going to be holdovers from the previous administration. But what do you make of some of this deep state, you know, activity that has taken place, that has been given rise recently, and that's being attached to some of the Obama holdovers?
Yeah, I don't know if we know for sure where it's coming from. I think those are speculations about exactly who's behind some of these leaks. Mm-hmm. But every administration in its early days has to deal with some element of this. It's just that this one is much more public, much more prolific, and obviously in a 24/7 news cycle is getting a lot more attention. I think that we'll see if President Trump can get over that hump and get some big wins on the board, specifically on bipartisan wins like infrastructure and tax reform. And Eisenhower would argue that is playing the long game. And if he can do that, it changes the dynamic completely.
Yeah, without a doubt. There's nothing like success to offset, you know, I've often said, and I tell the kids, you know, the best form of revenge is success. And this is the opportunity that is in front of Donald Trump and his administration. Brett, you have many pictures here in the center of the book, and one that I was especially, you know, drawn to was the picture of you at Ike's Chapel. Only fitting, you know, you're having, you know, it seems like even a meditative moment, being in front of this general that maybe in part you say, I hardly knew you, but I know you a lot better now.
Yeah, it was a moment, and it's a beautiful place, this remembrance, this chapel where Eisenhower is buried next to Mamie, his wife, and actually their three-year-old son who died of a disease, and he's buried there as well, Dowd. You know, Eisenhower, the one thing he wanted Kennedy to do at the end was to get Congress to pass a bill to reinstate him as general, not president. Mm. And Kennedy said, why do you want that? And he said, because I want to be buried as a military man. And he was buried in his uniform as a five-star general.
Exactly. Well, Brett Baer, congratulations on the book. I'm sure it sounds a little bit interesting for you to hear yourself introduced as New York Times best-selling author and Fox News anchor, huh? That's excellent. Thank you. Great job, you and what Catherine have put together for us in accounting, you know, and helping us appreciate the history of one Dwight David Eisenhower. 3 days in January, Dwight Eisenhower's final mission. Brett, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Hi, my name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watched several YouTube videos of Stephen Ewers and learned what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, and six other products from Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.